It's good to be here in Coleraine, and I want to thank Colin especially for his kind welcome a good few months ago, brother. But it's good to be here. The months have flown past, and it's good to meet up with our brother Roger once again. And I'm looking around, trying to look around here, and I'm sure there are one or two familiar faces. I'm not totally unfamiliar with Coleraine. As a young boy, I played a lot of football in this area, schools football, youth team football, and I actually spent 2 years as a semi-professional player here in the town as well. So I know this place. When I'm comfortable coming here, because sometimes you go to give your word of testimony about the country, the city boys don't understand your accent, but I know you people do. We're only a wee bit down the road. I was originally from Macarthur, as a lot of you would know, and now living in Macarthur for some 25 years. So I know you'll understand me. But it's good to be here tonight to give a word of testimony, to exalt the name of Christ, to exalt the name of my Saviour. I am so thankful, so glad, and I say that with all my heart, that I am able to stand here and to say that I love the Lord, and the Lord has saved me, and the Lord has kept me and blessed me, and the Lord has been everything to me. And you know, that's at the age of 22 I was saved. But I'll tell you a bit about me. But first of all, let me first have you to open up the Word of God. I want you to open up a couple of portions of Scripture, and the first being found in Psalm 34. Two portions of Scripture that are very important to me and very relevant to my testimony. Psalm 34, beginning at the verse 1. And it says there in Psalm 34, and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And go with me, please, to the book of Romans in the chapter 5. And I just want to read three verses from Romans chapter 5, beginning at the verse 6. Romans chapter 5. Beginning at the verse 6. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I love that verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I always like to give those, particularly those verses in Romans chapter 5, because I grew up in a home in Macarthur that wasn't a Christian home. A family of six. I was the second eldest. Three boys and three girls. But you know, even all through my early years as a young fella and as a young teenager, not been sent to Sunday school, or hardly ever sent to school, Sunday school, I must say. Those two verses, Romans 5, verse 6, and Romans 5, verse 8, hung on my bedroom wall all the way through my childhood. Now, my dad never went to the house of God. My mum rarely went to the house of God. We were rarely sent to Sunday school. In fact, I always say in a word of testimony in that, yes, I remember going to Sunday school, but so little was the time that I spent in Sunday school, I don't recall the name of any Sunday school teacher that ever taught me. My closest connection, I suppose, to the church was the Boys' Brigade. And that's it. But you know, friends, when you think about it, every night as a young boy, lying in my bed, I could see those verses. And those are wonderful verses. Those words etched in my heart from a young boy. Particularly that verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Isn't this wonderful? Christ died for us. Now, like many young folk in our meeting tonight, or many folks that have come up through Sunday school and been blessed with the teaching from the Word of God from an early age, can recite many, many verses of Scripture. Those were probably the only verses I ever knew. But you know, even saying that, even though growing up in a home, yes, in a neighborhood and an environment where it was far from God and no time really for the things of God, I would say this, that even though we were sent to Sunday school on rare occasions, mainly if I didn't want to go, we didn't go. If we didn't want to be there, then we didn't go. That was as simple as that. But God, in his love and his mercy, always plants round about us his remnant, those people that are faithful and true. And I thank God for that. I think of friends. I think of neighbours. I think of relatives. And I want to mention a few people that God placed in my life as I was a young boy. As I say, I grew up in a neighbourhood, and I say this too often, that, and I hope my word of testimony is a word of encouragement to all believers that are here tonight, because when I think about the young lads that I grew up with in Makara, some of you will know, very small town, bigger now than it was whenever I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. It was a divided town, much like a lot of the towns during the Troubles. There would be called so-called Protestant end of the town, so-called Catholic end of the town. And all the young lads that I ran around with, maybe 12 or 13 of them, came from homes the very same as mine. Protestant homes, but Protestant in name only. So little time for the things of God. I don't recall any of them being regular visitors to the house of God or to a Sunday school or to meetings. But thank God for one family in my neighbourhood. One family who were saved. They had four or five children. And I remember, even though I wasn't sent regularly to the house of God or to meetings in my own home, I remember those folks bringing myself and inviting myself, I should say, inviting me and my brothers and my sisters, who were much younger than I was, and my friends and everything in our neighbourhood, bring us along to a little Sunday afternoon meeting at a little Pentecostal hall there in Makara. And there I heard. There I heard at the earliest age, must have been about 6 or 7 years of age, about my need to be saved. So therefore I was without excuse. I knew of Christ from the earliest age. And I thank God, you know, I stand here tonight and I am truly thankful for those people who love me for the Lord. Looking back, coincidentally, I'm just thinking now that those people left Makara not long after I went to high school in Makara, and it was Coleraine they came to live in. You know, I met those folks many, many years later. A son of in that family many, many years later, and I told him about my coming to Christ from the many years from he had seen me, and I thanked him for his family's faithfulness. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, maybe you're in a neighbourhood like that, and maybe you're praying for young folks in your neighbourhood, and maybe you've invited them to the gospel meetings, and maybe you've seen no fruit. Just trust in the Lord. Keep being faithful. The Lord does answer prayer. It may be years. We may never see the answer to prayers, but God answers prayers. I had a young friend who was the same age as me. Now, he didn't live in our neighbourhood. He lived outside of town. He was safe out there, I must say that. But he was a young Christian man, came from a Christian family. And I thank God for him, because he was different. He came into the town very, very often to play football with us. We used to arrange our, as you would know it, young fellows, whatever, five-a-side games, six-a-side games, whatever, gathered up, and we would invite him in. He didn't even go to the same school as me, but I knew him because he shared a passion for football like I did. And you know, he wasn't afraid to stand up for Christ. He wasn't afraid to witness for the Lord. And he did it on the pitch and he did it off the pitch. He was different from all the rest of us. And I thank God for such a friend. And he'll come into the story just later on. As my testimony goes on, I think of my grandmother. Again, a friend, neighbours, and a grandmother. So I come from a very large family. Anybody who's ever heard my testimony before will know that I have a lot of cousins. I have 40 to 50 first cousins, and quite a few of them were all in and around Makara. My granny just lived across the way, maybe 300 or 400 yards away, in a neighbouring estate, and we used to never leave the place. Aunts and uncles and cousins, and it was a place of great crack. But I remember, I can't remember what time exactly in the 70s, I remember a great change in my granny's life. She went to the same little meeting that my neighbours used to take me to, and she got saved. Late in years, yes, maybe I think in her 60s or even her 70s, late in years, but there was a wonderful change in her life. She used to talk about the Saviour. She used to tell her sons and her daughters, my aunts and uncles, about their need to be saved. Saw a difference. I thank the Lord for that, because you know, even that faint little witness of my granny, again, the Lord was speaking to me. My, I'm so thankful for those people. You know, even though I wasn't going to the house of God, rarely there, folks, rarely there, God was still speaking to me. His Spirit was still striving with me. And I thank the Lord for them. And looking back, it breaks my heart with gratitude to the Lord that all the while through my years, my young years, my teenage years, and my early manhood years, His Spirit continued to strive with me. And I will say this, folks, that again, I never give a word of testimony without encouraging believers again. I know there are folks in here tonight who are involved in outreach work, and you need encouragement. You need encouragement. And I remember well as a young lad, even though you rarely got me into the house of God, but thank God again for those folks who were faithful to the Lord, distributing gospel tracts. Now, I don't understand it because I read much of the world's filth and in my time as a young man, as a young fella. But it was only of the Lord that He gave me a desire in my heart to read the gospel tracts. I used to be fascinated, and I mean that. I was fascinated by the messages or the stories of salvation in gospel tracts. And I wasn't a bit afraid to cross the road at a band parade to get one. I wasn't a bit afraid to put it in my pocket. Now, I wasn't brave enough to read it standing in the street. Still a wee bit of a coward. But I was fascinated. And it is only the Lord that puts that desire in a man's heart. It is only the Lord. Still, you must imagine and get a picture of, I was a young fellow out in the world as a teenager and as a young man, living a reckless and a riotous life. But thank God for that desire in my heart to read the gospel tracts. You couldn't have got me into the house of God, let's be honest about it, rarely. In fact, I've said this, it's a bit funny, but it's very, very true, that in the church that I went to in Makara, the Presbyterian church that I rarely went to, they used to send home the yearly annual report. Now, this is funny, but it gives you an insight into me as a person as well, I suppose. But I remember getting the report, and the report used to give the family's name, and the report used to give how much you'd given in a year. Now, ours was minimal, zero. And I, as a young fellow, was rather embarrassed with that. So I says, right, that's that. Right, if nobody's going to go and put some sort of money into the church so we're not embarrassed with a zero at the end of the year, then I'm going to go. And that was probably one of the reasons why I went to church, to make sure that there was something beside our name at the end of the financial year. It's amazing. You know, but I don't recall, even in those few times that I was in that church, certainly in my early years, of hearing the gospel. But I heard it through the gospel tracts. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I know it's a difficult work, and boy, it's hard. And the old devil can kick you when you're out in that work, and getting tracts torn up in your face, or they take them off you, and they discard them and throw them away, and no sooner have you given them out, but you see them cast upon the street. But believe me, trust me, there are those who are taking them and they're reading them. And I used to take them and devour those little gospel tracts, fascinated by the messages of salvation, the good news of salvation. But still I ran on in the things of the world. But still I hungered after the things of the world. You know, when I think back, I have much to thank the Lord for. I was a young man who was passionate about his football. And he was blessed with a talent, I suppose, and strength. You know, I always say that to young folks and everything else. You know, anything that I ever had as a footballer, I was a semi-professional for 21 years. But, you know, I was nothing. I am nothing without the Lord. The gift of health and strength and ability. It's all of the Lord. Anything we have, it's all of the Lord. But I remember well, and I must say this again. I must not let this go on without touching on this for our young folks. A young man who was a sinful young man, even in his teenage years, I remember well bringing much heartache to my mother and my father. Because growing up in the 70s, the older folks will remember that, the towns used to be shut off from the traffic. No traffic in the towns was an absolute playground for young men like me. The police weren't in, the police never did foot patrols, it was too dangerous, the police were outside the town. So the town in itself became a playground for us and our vandalism, and it was reckless to say the least. Those of you folks will remember, the gates were up in the town. It was an open field for all manner of sin for us young men. And I brought much, and my brothers brought much heartache. You know, if you can imagine what it's like getting into trouble as a young fella, as a teenager, a lot of petty crime. And if you can imagine what it's like for a mother watching there as a police officer coming up the footpath on many occasions, there must be an awful fear in her heart thinking that, what's wrong? They're not in the house. Where are they at? What has happened? Many, many times. Many, many times. The police would have been at our door. Now, it was crazy too, because there was a family of six Stuarts. That was us. And then next door to us, there was a family of 12 Stuarts. So there was 18 kids all called Stuart, all living beside each other. And there was a few more up the top of the town as well. So it seemed to be the case that if there was any sort of trouble, go for a Stuart. Arrest a Stuart, you're bound to get somebody. You know, and it was foolish, the trouble that we get into. Sinful young men indeed. But folks, I was, and I must say this, I went off on a tangent there, but to the young folks in our, I grew up in a home that sadly, like a lot of homes in our neighbourhood, that saw much trouble and much sadness because of alcohol. Our home could have been a place of happiness and contentment for much of the week, but come the weekend, if there was drink or whatever, then it just wasn't the same place. And I hated it. Let me say that. I hated it. Unsaved, but I hated it. Because I had, I suppose, wisdom enough to see that it brought trouble, it brought strife, it brought pain, it brought anguish. And many times I poured the stuff down the sink, and all my view was, the sooner the drink's gone, the sooner the trouble's gone. And you know, I've said this a lot of times, that if my dad had caught me, my dad carry on, I'd have been sorted out well and good. But you know, I went from a young man who despised the stuff, hated it, because of the trouble that it brought. You know, and I look back over those years and I saw many, many people in trouble and in fear and in anguish over the head of it. But it didn't stop me, and I warn our young folks in our congregation tonight, you know, beware, you've been brought up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. You've been brought up and warned about such evils and taught about such evils and the dangers of such evils. And here I am tonight testifying, I warn you too, because I became a young fella. Not soon after throwing it down the sink, who was out there working and making money and sitting in the bar still, no longer throwing it down the sink, but throwing it down my throat and falling deeper and deeper into a world of sin. Sad but very, very true, how the devil leads us. I was I was able to frequent pubs and stuff from 14 years of age, 15 years of age, and even a small town like Macarrah. I knew what the pubs were no stranger to me at 17 whenever I went out into the working world. I was familiar with them from a very, very early age. Sad to say it, but let me warn you folks, it brings you down deeper and deeper into sin. But you know, thank God, as I say, I began to go out into the working world. I worked in a company in Macarfelt. I then moved on in my football career I got the offer of a semi-professional contract at Glentoran. I started off at a club at Castle Dawson, Biola Park Football Club. Moved up into the big world in Belfast. I must say this too, I actually got an offer to come to Coleraine at the age of 17 to play football. And refused to come to Coleraine because I think I was scared, to be honest with you. I was only a kid from Macarrah, and Coleraine was a big place as far as I was concerned, and I was afraid to come down this way. But a year later, the offer came from Glentoran. I thought I was a year wiser. I was a man now at 17, so I took the opportunity to go to Belfast. But it's amazing. I look back now and I see the Lord's hand in all this. It's wonderful. I see the Lord's hand in it all. And I went to Glentoran Football Club. I had friends who said to me, "You'll be back in 6 months." And I says, "So be it." You know, or they had various opinions on how long it would last at such a club. I says, "I'm going to give it a go, see what happens." I was just a young fellow who was passionate about his football. But I went into the Glentoran changing rooms, and there again, the Lord with his people in the right place at the right time. There was a man, and again, the older folks, I apologise to the young folks because I'm mentioning a name here that you'll not be familiar with. In the changing rooms, there was a fellow at Glentoran Football Club who was an international footballer. And this was October 1982. But in May 1982, the World Cup was in Spain. And I remember a man in the Northern Ireland squad in the World Cup in 1982 making the headlines for a reason that I thought was crazy, in that he was a Christian, and that also that he refused to play in the Lord's Day. And I remember well my thoughts on that. And I said, "Man's a nutcase." I remember it well. I said, "Man's a nutcase. Why would he go to the World Cup and not play?" You know. But of course, I was a young sinful man. I didn't understand. But here I was now in the same changing rooms as this nutcase. But I thank God for bringing me into contact with that man. He was a man of God. He was a man who had a testimony. He was a man who was different than anybody else. Yes, in that environment, as a young fellow who's playing his trade as a young footballer, you have many acquaintances and many friends. But there was something different about this man, and I observed him, like I did every other believer that I come into contact with. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the unsaved are observing you. They're listening to you. They're watching you. Be encouraged. Live right before them. And this man was different. He had something that nobody else had. He was, for the most part, joyful, happy. He had something. And he wasn't ashamed to tell what he had. He had faith in the Lord. He had trust in the Lord. The Lord didn't bring me the cold rain. He took me to Belfast, to Plymouth. Success abounded. My work in life went on, and my role as a part-time semi-professional footballer, it just took off. Success. Many personal accomplishments, I suppose, and many accomplishments as a team at Glentoran. We were recognised as one of the biggest clubs in the country. But let me say this, folks, that even though many would have been looking at me and looking at me as a young fella who now, maybe the young fellas that I ran around with, they were seeing me and they were so glad for me that you were appearing on TV, you were being interviewed in television, you were being interviewed for the newspapers, you were being interviewed for the radio, and my goodness me, this was marvellous. Things were great. But let it be said, I was further and further away from God, further and further away from the Lord. Even though there were still those, I knew there were at times even that Johnny wasn't the only Christian that was in the changing rooms. I remember at one time there were three altogether in the changing rooms. God's people, witnessing. At that time too, in my working place, there were Christians, people that the Lord had brought me into contact with. I will say this to you, Lord, and it's amazing as we look back over our lives. I remember well, it was in the summer of 82, around that time, just prior to going to it was 82, it was an awful time for a young man to leave school, much like today, no work. And I had an absolute fervent desire to go into the armed forces. And I remember well, I went to England for 3 days. I was about to get into what was called then the Army Pay Corps. Very intelligent fella. Going to handle money, I suppose. And I remember going and doing all the tests, the physical tests and everything else. And it's amazing. I was going back home to one of my best friends, and he was in the same way of thinking. He was waiting for his date to go do his tests and go to the Army. And I come back and I said to him, I said, "Stephen, I just don't want to go anymore." He says, "What's wrong with you? There's nothing here for us." I said, "I just want to go. It's not me." I had a brother. Let's remember, I had a brother already in the Army. He was in the Army for 2 years. And nobody could understand. I couldn't even understand it myself, folks, to be honest with you. The desire left me almost overnight. But you know, looking back, again, I see the hand of the Lord in it all. I see the hand of the Lord in it all, stopping me and diverting me in an our track. Yes, an unsaved young man, but the Lord guiding me where he wanted me to be. Guiding me where he was going to lead me to himself. Success abounded, as I said, at Glentoran Football Club. European football, trophies, championships, this, that and the other. And it was so good. But let me say this most sincerely, falling deeper and deeper into sin. But you know, the Lord was to stop me, folks. You know, the Word of God says, I think it's in Numbers 32 and 23, "You have sinned against the Lord, be sure your sin will find you out." I was a young man who lived for the things of the world. Lived for the things of the world. I remember well folks asking me to go to missions or to go to the house of God. And you couldn't have got me in. I told lies to people who invited me to think, "I've somewhere else to go, I've something else to do." Lying to stay, but thank God the Lord followed after me. His Spirit continued to strive after me, to follow me. The Lord's good. Friends, the Lord loves you. And the Lord wants you to come to simple faith in him. And I remember well in 1987, it was the year I was married. And it was also the year, the older folks will remember this, there was much talk around about in the early spring of 1987. There was the Zeebrugge disaster, the awful ferry disaster from Belgium to the shores of Britain. And also around that same time, folks, there was the awful news had come upon the world and people were fearful. It was the AIDS virus And I remember thinking to myself, clearly, there are those that have perished in an instant, and there are those that have perished, that will perish, over a long period of time. And you know, the Lord took a dealing with me. We cannot explain why the Spirit of God falls upon an individual or when it falls upon an individual, but the Spirit of God took a dealing with me. See, I was a young man who lived a reckless, as the Word of God says in the parable of the lost son. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And that was my life, to sum it up. Without getting into detail about the sins, it was riotous, reckless, in the sight of a holy God. It was foolish. You know, I remember being greatly troubled by my sin. I had a little Gideon's New Testament that I got at first year at school, like I think most young folks still get them to this day. And I still have it at home. Now, I had hardly read that little New Testament. But here I was under conviction of sin, folks, and I mean conviction of sin. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. This young man who was one of the brightest young talents, I suppose, in the football world here in Northern Ireland, hardly fit to put one foot in front of the other. All the vigour and all the vitality and all the energy almost sat from me. I was brokenhearted over my sin. Here was I sitting outside work at 7:30 in the morning, whereas beforehand I was just about making it into work in time, devouring this little New Testament, searching and searching and searching. Broken, fearful, ashamed, guilty. Yes, all of those things. All of those things. And you know the amazing thing about it, folks? Playing for a big club like Glentoran, with all the support that it had and all the popularity that I had and my teammates had and everything else, when it came to the crunch, when it came to the key point, who could help me in my time of trouble? Who could help me with my sin? Nobody. There were few. Of all the thousands of supporters that were slapping your back on a Saturday and applauding you and applauding your name and chanting your name, as the old hymn says, where could I go but to the Lord? It's true. A broken-hearted young man who just simply found a quiet place with real tears and cried unto the Lord to save him. And I praise God for that. I was a man with the vilest tongue and with the vilest interests and passions, but praise God, he saved me. The interesting thing about that was I was working alongside a fella at that time too. You know, I was under conviction for some weeks, can't remember. Such a torrid time it was, I can't remember how long that period of conviction was. But you know, the Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I knew little about the Word of God. I knew little about anything at all. But I knew from the gospel tracts and I knew from the faithful witnesses years gone by, all I had to do was call upon Jesus. And he would save me. And he did. The young man that was working me through that time of conviction and everything was working right beside me. Hadn't a clue that I was under conviction. Then I made it known at work that I was saved. And then I realized that he was under conviction the same time that I was under conviction and got saved some night or two nights after me. It's amazing. He was struggling with his own conviction and came to the Lord. And I was struggling, brokenhearted, and came to the Lord. We have a mighty and a wonderful Savior. Mighty and a wonderful Savior. I sought out, the young lad I talked about that I grew up with, I sought him out. I knew he would be at that church that I belonged to. I sought him out and I went to tell him. Again, encouragement for God's people. I have to tell him. I had to tell people that I was saved. I wasn't ashamed of it. And I went and I met him in church. I knew where he'd be sitting. I says, Ian, I've news for you. I says, I've got saved. I didn't know any other way to put it. You know, I'd cried unto the Lord, Lord, save me. I was saved. There's no better way to put it. The Lord had saved me from my sin and my sorrow. And I could see tears welling up in his eyes. This was a young man, the same age as me, 22 years of age. And he says, Alfie, with this, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. Always encouraging you. He says, we've been praying for you for years. Mighty. I went to training the following Tuesday night. I sought out Johnny. I made sure I was warming up with him around the football pitch. And he says, Johnny, I have news for you. I've got saved. I've put my trust in Christ. Same thing. We've been praying for you from your 5 years since you first put your foot in through the door. Amen. It's mighty. And I'm often I often wonder what they thought of me from watching me and observing me out there in the world, careless and foolish and reckless. But they prayed. Brothers and sisters, you do know people. You are praying for family and friends and maybe teammates. It doesn't matter who they are. Keep praying. And I learned a vital lesson then, a valuable lesson in my young Christian life, just to keep on praying. There were others who had prayed for me. It's wonderful. God's people praying, and God answering prayer. Friends, I went on, I moved on after a few years at Glentoran to Portadown. Again, I knew much success. I was, like I'm doing tonight, asked many times over the years to testify about what the Lord had done for me, simply because, you know, I suppose I was a well-known footballer who had a testimony, and I thank God for the opportunity to do that. And success abounded. I knew much success throughout my career. But thank God, above all things, I will say this, that as a family man, say, married in 1987, my wife, Lorraine, had grown up in an environment that was completely different than mine. She grew up in a home that where she was sent to Sunday school and children's meetings, and she had heard it from an early age. Week after week after week, her mother was saved. There were people in her family who were saved. My son and daughter came to faith in Christ at a very early age. It's the most wonderful thing. I have a son now who's like father, like son. He's a semi-professional footballer. And I remember well at the age of 5, him approaching me in the hallway at home and saying, "Dad, I want to ask Jesus into my heart." Wonderful. Thank God today he's still walking with the Lord. Thank God my daughter saved from an early age. We knew household salvation. But I will say this, folks. I take you back now some 3 years ago, because I thank God for household salvation. And I will say this, that in September, 3 years ago, I remember when my father was unwell. Again, let me say this about my family. I have seen in the intervening years 2 brothers come to Christ, a sister coming to Christ, my mother coming to Christ in simple faith. My dad, who didn't know the Lord, 3 years ago, we were concerned about his health. And I remember well, my brother was going with him to hospital. And I remember well, I said, "Let me know what the opinion is." And he phoned me and he says, "It's not good, it's cancer." And my wife, Lorraine, was to phone me that morning once I got the news. She phoned me. This was September 3 years ago. And I said, "This is not good, it's what we feared." My words to Lorraine that day were as simple as this: "Lorraine, it's not good, it's what we feared. This is going to be a tough run to Christmas." Friends, it was a tough run to Christmas, because 3 weeks after I imparted those words to Lorraine, she was out in God's eternity, called home. As quick as that. Now, it's very hard, folks, I must admit, to stand still 3 years down the line to talk about such things, but talk I must. The Word of God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord that Lorraine was ready to go. I remember well that I was saved some 9 years before Lorraine came to faith in Christ. And she came to Christ through her own mother, her Christian mother's illness and subsequent death. The Lord saved her. I remember well that night coming home from church in Magherafelt. And just in simple tears, I says, "What's wrong? What's the problem?" She says, "I need the Lord. I need to get saved." Well, thank God for that night which she put her trust in Christ, because on a beautiful October day, October the 11th, just in 2 days' time, it's 3 years, she was taking my son down to play. I was involved with the reserve team at Ballymena. I was going to Belfast. My son and daughter were with their mum. She was driving the car. And 5 minutes, I will say this, that she said to my daughter, "Make a phone call to your granddad, tell him we'll see him at the showgrounds at such and such a time." Well, within 5 minutes, friends, I was phoning her father to tell him to get down the road, there's something wrong. Her last words were, at the wheel of the car, "I feel faint." And that was it. Called home. Called home. The Lord spared my son and daughter in the car that day. But I can only say, friends, I've been asked the question many times. It was a heartbreaking thing. Still is a heartbreaking thing. But I look upon the Lord and I can say that the Lord is sovereign. God is sovereign. His will is sovereign. I've been asked many a time, "Brother or Alfie, are you angry?" "No, I'm not." I remember one of the first verses that came to my mind that day, just hours after it, the Reverend McCrae was sitting with me in the hospital. And I says, "Brother, it says in the book of Job, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yes, heartbroken. Still heartbroken, friends. But I'm trusting in the Lord. The Lord has been my strength. The Lord has been my guide in those days. And I have observed, I will say this, I have observed my son and my daughter who witnessed that day. I was spared that. And they have walked on with the Lord. I look at my daughter, especially. She can't do enough for the Lord. That's grace. That's God's wonderful and mighty grace. And you know, times are still hard, folks. There are times when I really do need the strength of the Lord just to face the day. It's difficult. It's hard. I'm not up here to admit anything else. I am a believer in the Lord. I've trusted to the Lord many years ago, and I will continue to hold on to the Lord. Someday I'll be called if the Lord doesn't come first. The rain has just gone on before us. But I praise the Lord. I looked, and one of the fears that a father would have in such a situation is, you know, the kids. Alana was 16, Aaron was 18 years of age, and I had real fears. But I can praise the Lord. They're not looking back. They're not angry with God. They're not losing their simple faith in God. They're trusting Him ever more, ever stronger. I can truly say this, folks, down here today, that the Lord has been my help, my shield, my strong and mighty tower in some difficult, difficult times. And I still need to hold on to Him in the days to come. You know, even strength to stand. I remember even a few months ago, I did not think that I would be able to. I remember saying to a brother in the Lord, an elder in our church, I says, "You know, brother, I don't think I could ever stand and talk and give my testimony again, because it means bringing in such. But I'm here tonight to warn you, folks. I know there are those in the meeting tonight who are unsaved. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I had a man of my age, and he's a very close friend of mine, a Roman Catholic friend, and he said to me, like myself, I couldn't get into the house of God. Very open and honest, "I'm not going. I'm not going." And I said, "That's fine. I'll just keep praying for you, like others had prayed for me." But on the day of the funeral, he came and he heard the gospel. And he said to me, he says, "Alfie, you quoted a verse for me from Scripture over years about boasting not yourself of tomorrow." He says, "You're right. Friends, he's not saved yet. I'll just keep praying like others kept praying for me." The Lord answers prayer. But I would urge you, folks, tonight, who know not Christ, you may not see tomorrow. I had observed other people who had lost loved ones over the years, suddenly, in an instant. Let's be honest. It meant little or nothing to me until it hits your own heart, until it hits your own home. Then it's real and it's true and it's heartbreaking. And then only can you empathize and sympathize with those and understand. But praise the Lord, the rain is with the Lord. With the Lord. I stand not here as some great man of faith. I'm a man of simple faith. I love the Lord. And the Lord has been there in times, as our brother Roger prayed in the prayer meeting. We need Him at the top of the mountain, and we need Him in the valley. And I have found that in my life. I have found it. Let me say this before I finish. I hope I haven't gone on too long, brother. In the darkest of days since that, I can remember, well, one particular morning, and my first thoughts and awakening one morning, and I says, "Lord, just get me out of bed to get me to work." And the Lord got me out of bed, and the Lord got me to work. And I was in I worked for the road service, and I could be anywhere at any day, at any time. I remember that particular day, which started so bad and so hard. And I say this just to let people know that God is good, and God does help in the most difficult times. And the Lord took me to work that day, and he took me to a place where I wasn't expected to be. It was way out in the middle of a country road. I had two workmates with me. One was a good few yards behind, another a good few yards ahead. And I remember being startled that morning on a country road way above Magherafelt, way in the mountains, by a young man who came in behind me. And I recognized his face simply because he was a lorry driver who had seen on the road many times. And he came up to me. Now, remember how the day had started. I had needed so much grace just to get out of bed and go on that day. And he says, "You're Alfie." I says, "That's right." I says, "I know you, but I don't know your name." And I says, "Are you not working?" "No, I'm not." He says, "I'm not working a minute. I'm off." He says, and I says, what's the problem?" He says, "I lost my mum. She died 2 months ago. And not only that, Alfie," he says, "I lost my brother. He committed suicide 2 years ago." And he says to me, he says, "You're a Christian. And you lost your wife." I says, "That's right." And there, folks, there was the Lord reminding me, "I'll help you. And I'll encourage you. And I'll strengthen you when you need it." Here was me being able to share the gospel with a young man who I had maybe only spoken to once, maybe some 10 years earlier. Standing, he with a broken heart, me with a broken heart. He was crying, real tears, me on a country road. And the Lord had enabled me that day to get out of my bed, to go on just to meet that man on that road, to tell him about the Lord. Friends, yes, there have been many days since I've had to cry to the Lord, "Lord, help me." There will be many days. The Word of God also says, friends, I'll remind you of this, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble comes. But praise the Lord, I have Jesus for the mountaintops, for the valleys, for the troubles. I'm trusting him. I'll keep on trusting in the Lord. The Lord is good. Folks, if you're not saved, be ready. Be in time. The book of Amos says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Someday you will. Will you meet him with Christ, safe in Christ, or will you meet him out of Christ? What an awful thing. I want to leave this with, I was encouraged by one of the choruses Colin sang earlier on. It says, "He knows your heartache, he understands." And there are people in here tonight who have known heartache, who do know heartache. Just put your problem in his great hands. No trouble meets you but in his will. He's not forgotten. He loves you still. Wonderful. I was greatly encouraged by that verse tonight. He's not forgotten. He loves you still. Sinner, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you so much, he went to Calvary and he died for you. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's just a simple cry, folks. Maybe you're saying tonight, "I don't know how to come to the Lord." Just cry unto him. Like I did as a wretched sinner. Cry unto him. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows every tear. And the Lord is able to save. Amen.